The Volume.
Colin Cowherd Podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use. Super safe, totally secure, super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same game parlay bets, live betting. It's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. This is Prime Cuts, the best of the Colin Cowherd podcast. Crazy week, awesome guests. Mike Silver reacted to Bruce Arians in Tampa moving upstairs. It's Tommy's team. Comedian Adam Carolla, thoughts on Will Smith's ridiculous Oscar slapping of Chris Rock. I talked Final Four with College Hoops insider Aaron Torres and why it makes John Calipari look even worse with Duke's success. But first, my top takes of the week. Anytime things seem sudden and strange, there is usually a coup involved. Bruce Arians, who never showed any interest in the front office, although he had hinted at retirement, suddenly retires so quickly that the Buccaneers had to rush the staff and rush the players together to tell them, meaning it wasn't really planned. Meaning Brady wanted him out. Listen, Tom retires, then unretires. Arians, I'm good here. Then suddenly I'm moving upstairs. Todd Bowles is in. It all is very strange and sudden. Come on now. I think most of you understand how the game works. This was never culturally New England to Tampa was always a weird fit. One is academic, cold weather, Boston, politics, sports, a power broker's town. One, Tampa, Ybor City, cocktails early, a goofy franchise. One, obsessed quarterback. One, dysfunctional franchise. Tom went there for more control and better weapons. He got the weapons. He got the Super Bowl. But what Tom never truly got, even in his Super Bowl winning season, was control. And that Arians is a seat of the pants, go with your gut coach. When Arians, and I like Bruce, but when he went to CBS to broadcast, the feeling was, he wasn't overly prepared. He was funny. People liked him. He is a seat of the pants guy, and Brady's not. This was always a weird cultural fit. It was always a weird fit. Old school Bruce, adapting, evolving, obsessed Tom. And it worked the first year. Folks, we saw this multiple times. I mean, Arians called out Brady. Tom took one for the team. You think Tom liked that? Legends don't like to be called out. They can laugh. They can fall on the sword at the podium. They don't like that. So this has always been a very, very turbulent relationship. And of course it is. Of course it is. You know, I always think Bruce Arians was a perfect fit with Big Ben. Big Ben was not obsessed. Big Ben was a gunslinger. Big Ben is an over-the-top backyard football quarterback. Arians and Big Ben, to me, like, that's a perfect relationship. You know what I think Tom's perfect relationship is? Kyle Shanahan. Obsessed, maniacal, considered the great scheming coach. Remember, as good as McVay is, McVay will acknowledge privately Shanahan's the better scheme guy. Sean is the better culture builder, better in front of the room. And he has built that with the Rams. So, you know, fit matters. This is why Aaron Rodgers, for all his talent, has won Super Bowl. He doesn't always get along with players. He has struggled with coaches. He has struggled with executives. Aaron Rodgers should have multiple Super Bowls. If you looked at his talent and Tom, you'd say he's got 7 Super Bowls. The other guy has one. Tom usually is a better fit, easier to get along with. Aaron's difficult. And so, you know, fit has always been undervalued in sports. Chemistry has always been undervalued. We talk about this often that, you know, if it was just about movie stars make movies, then why wouldn't Paramount or Sony or Disney just go hire five movie stars, make movies, and everybody files into the theater? Doesn't work that way. It's plot. Its director works very well with casting director and producer and stars and complimentary pieces. So, you know, Brady and Arians was destined to have a great deal of tumult. It was destined to be turbulent. They got a Super Bowl out of it. But all these things happening so strangely and so suddenly, they tell you. Tom wanted two things in Tampa. He wanted better weapons and more control. And he got one and he didn't get the other. Now, Todd Bowles as the coach. I'm going to talk about that in a couple of minutes with Mike Silver. You know, Todd is the kind of coach that will let Brady take the offense. That's very much his personality. Todd's a great defensive coach. He's not power hungry. He is not a formulaic coach where this is the way I do it, my way or the highway. It's not really Todd Bowles' personality. He'll let Tom run the offense. He'll run the defense. It will, you know, Bowles, when he was with the Jets, you know, he wasn't much at the podium. He's not much of a personality. He is not a self-promoter. He's just a really driven, humble, grateful, gracious guy who coaches the hell out of defense. Is he a great coach? He's a great coordinator. But I think he and Brady will align better than Bruce and Brady. And, I mean, Tom is obsessed. I still contend that, and we've had multiple reports to confirm this, including Tom Brady's dad. What did Tom Brady's dad say 2-3 weeks ago? Tom didn't want to retire. There were external forces. Was one of the external forces the power grab? I mean, Tom Brady's dad said there were other things going on. He didn't name names. So, you know, Tom Brady's dad has, to a fault, not for me, but for Tom, to a fault, been honest. He came out. Tom doesn't want to retire. So this is, it may be sudden and strange, but it's fairly predictable. And, I mean, Brady is too detailed and too planned to suddenly retire and unretire. That is the most un-Brady move ever. That's just not what he does. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and drama, yeah, that's kind of predictable. Brady not having everything thought out, that's so off brand. So listen, I think Bowles and Brady will be a better fit. Tom runs the offense, will have say in personnel when he can, absolute control of the game plans, which you watch Tom versus Time. He wanted more control of the game plans. That's well documented. Now he's going to have it. So, you know, a lot of times you go for a job and there's two or three things that you want and you get one or two of them early and then you have success. And then you get that one you didn't get the first year in your second or third year. And so once Brady won the Super Bowl, the owners probably went, all right, let's weigh the options here. Greatest football quarterback ever. Good coach, good guy. We still owe him money on the salary. We'll just move him upstairs. But that's what this is. Now, you're probably going to have agents and you're going to have people come out and say, oh, this is really their best of friends. Oh, stop. We're not idiots here. Sports fans, you follow it, I follow it. This is incredibly easy to spot what happened here. It's not like Bruce and Tom can't walk down the hallway. Arians is still getting his money. They're still going to be in the same building. They're adults. They'll get along fine. This is better for the franchise. It's better for Tom. You know, Bruce Arians has had a heck of an NFL career. Now he's just going to have a different office, probably on the second floor. NFL free agency isn't done. I am very interested to see where New York Giants corner James Bradbury lands. He's good, and the Chiefs are leading on him. Well, well, well. So Kansas City, which has 12 draft picks and a lot of cap space, loses Tyreek Hill, and what do you know? They're adding really nice players. We always overreact to this stuff. About 33% of free agents hit are highly productive. That means almost 70% are not. Listen, Tyreek Hill is great. but he's going to go from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to rookie head coach Mike McDaniel and Tua. Call me zany, I see a drop-off in production. The Chiefs went out and got Juju Smith-Schuster. He was a good slot receiver with an old bad quarterback and a terrible O-line. What's he going to be in Kansas City? The reality is, and we know this to be true, if just a bunch of great actors made great movies, then you just, as a studio, hire 5 or 6 A-list actors, regardless of the plot, and put them on screen. But we know that some of the biggest busts in Hollywood history, the biggest flops, have been when you throw multiple A-list actors together. You know that fit matters because college preparatory counseling's become a huge business in the last 2 decades. What a good counselor will tell you, even if you have the perfect student, great grades and ACT scores, that doesn't mean they fit at Harvard and Yale. It's all about the fit. So much of that is true in Hollywood, where you go to college, and free agency. Listen, you know this and I know this. You can look around the NBA. LeBron is the rare player that works everywhere. NBA is a great example. Chris Paul works everywhere. But we've seen time and time again, some guys just don't connect. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, both are too ball dominant. The reality with Tyreek Hill, Kansas City has good chemistry, a great play designer, and a world-class quarterback. Juju Smith-Schuster's numbers should increase. By the way, so should Marquise Valdez-Scantling's number. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers generally doesn't trust anybody but his favorite wide receiver or favorite tight end in big spots. Patrick Mahomes, much more willing to distribute to multiple wide receivers. Take a deep breath. Kansas City is fine. Andy Reid's history tells you in Philadelphia and Kansas City, it's not just about stars. Chemistry, he makes it work with great play designs. That's what free agency's always been about. FanDuel Sportsbook NBA Same Game Parlay. What is it? Gives you a chance to turn a small bet into a big payday. It's my favorite. Choose any NBA game, anyone. Combine multiple bets within the game. How many three-pointers made, who the leading scorer is going to be, and more into one wager for bigger wins. $10 can become a lot of money. Monday, I like the Raptors over the Celtics, Pascal Siakam to go over his projected point total. Make the midseason feel like the playoffs on FanDuel Sportsbook. Get paid fast. If you're a new customer, you can bet $5 and get $150 in site credit instantly guaranteed. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. Promo code is always Colin to get this deal, C-O-L-I-N, to bet the NBA today. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HO P-E-N-Y or text H-O-P-E-N-Y 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Longtime NFL writer Mike Silver. Holy shnikes. So listen, Mike, this is not a difficult one to read the tea leaves. Like, these personalities were always different. I said when Tom went to Tampa, the cultures are different. One, Boston. Sports, politics, obsessed, prep schools, intense, academic, lousy weather, workaholics, the great history. The other, Ybor City, baby, cocktails early. You know, so I always thought, and I said this, I said, Tom will, it's the football's not the problem. It's the cultural gap that he's going to have to get used to. Like, he's going to have to train this team to be obsessed. Remember the helicopter pictures at the high school? I'm like, okay, he's getting there. But this feels like, and probably the term sounds too intense, a little bit of a power grab, older coach, obsessed quarterback. Tom went to Tampa for two things, weapons and control. He got one right out of the chute. He didn't get the other, and he wanted it. Is that fair?
Well, listen. First of all, let's assess. Let's step back. They had two pretty good years together, right?
They
won a Super Bowl, went to Lambeau, albeit fanless Lambeau, but won in the cold at Lambeau and then killed the Chiefs. And then this year, one of my favorite Brady games ever, if not my favorite, and I wrote about this when he retired for a while. But, you know, he's down 27-3, and we all know about 28-3 and all the crazy things that had to happen there. But this was, to me, equally epic. And, yeah, there was a coverage breakdown at the end, and Cooper Kupp made a play, and the Rams did win that game. But, you know, what he did in that last game was incredibly hard, and maybe if they get that to overtime and win, you know, who knows what would happen. So two great years. And look, I don't want people to oversimplify and go, man, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. I mean, was it a perfect match? Of course not. But way better match than Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, personality-wise. And that one lasted, 20 years? And obviously, they did incredible things together. So I think if you gave Tom Brady truth serum and said, would you rather play another year with Bill Belichick or Bruce Arians, he would laugh and be like, please, B.A., it's great. But I don't think it's the control thing I don't think was an issue in terms of the offense. I think based on what Bruce Arians told me that first year, he told Tom, let's run what you want. Let's put your stuff in. And he kind of stepped back a lot, and they ran Brady's offense for better or worse, and obviously for better in terms of the results. I just wonder, if you could look to the Antonio Brown thing, for example, right? Bruce Arians had it with Antonio Brown in that moment. And maybe a younger coach who is less my way or the highway would have massaged that. I actually don't know. I'm kind of on BA's side on that one. But, you know, maybe things like that, Tom Brady would think, hey, we could be a little less reactionary here. You know, BA grabbed his own guy. So there's some old school moments, but I honestly think it's an oversimplification to just go, well, Tom needed to get rid of Bruce Arians. Just that's a terrible match.
He's the host of the podcast, The Adam Carolla Show. He was one of the first big podcasts in this industry. You know him from The Man Show. He has a book out. His latest book is Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apologies. And with that, we bring in the world-renowned Adam Carolla. So, Adam, I'm going to give you my take, my 90-second take on Will Smith, and then you slice it, dice it, do whatever you want with it. As a stand-up comedian, as somebody who's on stage, you tell me where I'm wrong on this. So I'm agnostic, so I don't speak about religion, but there's a certain reality for the mobster who goes to repent his sins on Sunday, then shoots a guy in front of a steakhouse on Thursday night. He's not fooling God, right? Like, he's fooling himself. The Hollywood athlete or the Hollywood actor, the leading man, they've all got side dishes, right? Multiple. When they come out, and I'm not speaking specifically to Will, but, you know, leading men and athletes, there are no industries where men cheat more than those two. They use their power and their leverage to gain access to beautiful women. I saw a lot of takes from athletes, current, former, a lot of leading men types, big tough guys saying, hey, you got to protect your woman. And I'm like, no, like the mobster who shoots the guy in front of a steakhouse, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. If you cared about the woman in your life, you wouldn't be fucking around all the time. This is about your ego, which you couldn't subjugate because your wife cheated on you. It's very public. And in this moment, you look small. This was not about your wife. This was about your ego. Take away.
Well, also, there's a context. You know, you're going to be in show business. You're going to sit in the front seat of the Oscars. I've written for two Oscars. I've been there. You know, the process is you show up days before and they have the pictures of all the celebrities and where they're sitting. And by the way, always in black and white. I always thought to myself, this is the Oscars. You can't afford a color ink cartridge, but they can't. It's black and white. And by the way, some of the older guys and some of the other guys, you have to look at it for a while before you can realize just who that is. But anyway, so there's a context. Your front seat of the Oscars, and here comes Chris Rock, and it is his job to roast notable people that are sitting up front. So this essentially, it's like marrying a porn star, going to the set of the porn movie, and then freaking out because someone's f-ing your wife. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. There's a context. Chris Rock didn't show up to your home and start making fun of your wife. You sat in the very front seat of the Oscars. He's a comic. He's going to roast. That's your context. It shouldn't elicit that kind of response.
Adam, I go to, you know, Hermosa Beach Comedy Store. I've gone, you know, down on Sunset, West Sunset. So I've had friends that are comedy writers. I've talked to Leno. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Johnny Carson like a lot of kids. I didn't want to be a sportscaster. I didn't even know what it meant. I just wasn't talented enough. So I went into sports. Lower bar for that, probably. So one of the things I've noticed about the great comedians, they've got a set, but they play with the crowd. They interact with the crowd. I don't think somebody said it's not a scripted. It wasn't scripted. It was you look at her, you have a line. By the way, G.I. Jane was sort of an empowered woman, right? She was like a powerful, successful woman. So in that instance, I think, Jesus, if you tell comedians they can't ad lib in the biggest stage in the industry, the Oscars, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I disagree just because I've been behind the curtain there a couple of times. It probably wasn't ad-libbed. It could have been quickly thought of backstage or at some previous point, but it probably wasn't ad-libbed in that you get writing assignments. It's like, here's going to be sitting here and this person's going to be there. And they'll go, give me a few jokes for this person and give me a few jokes for that person. So probably wasn't off the cuff. Regardless, whether it's off the cuff or not, you're on stage, you're telling the joke. There's no barrier between you and the audience, and sort of taking the law into your own hands is not a good precedent. Speaking of the law, I literally just got done doing a podcast with attorney Mark Geragos. And as far as the law goes, if Chris Rock doesn't want to press charges and there was no damage done to him, then the law is going to leave it alone unless you have some prosecutor who's looking for a bunch of publicity, who would like to take this on, is really a grandstand type trial.
What would you do?
If I was the prosecutor?
No, if you were Chris Rock. Well, you're a bigger, stronger. You're a former boxer, I think, or something, right?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'd be so surprised that I don't know what I would do. Like, it's hard to fathom. Chris's brain must have been whirling like a dervish, not only from the slap, but just from the bizarre context of the whole thing.
Right.
I probably would have done what he did. I probably would have just sort of carried on. Now, what I was hoping for is that they would escort Will Smith out of the building. And then later on, when he won the Academy Award, Chris Rock would accept it on his behalf.
You still do a lot of stand up, right?
Yes.
You drive a lot of revenue in podcasting, that we all know. I figured you drive a lot of revenue in your stand up, which you're very active. Do you worry now this incentivizes some idiot for Miller Lite in to heckle you?
I have little to no regard for my own personal safety. I've just always kind of been wired that way. It was never a thing for me. I've been in fights. I used to teach boxing.
Yeah.
I just don't have a fear for my own personal safety. But, you know, Jeff Ross does. And so he's going to have to think about it when he goes up on stage. I am wired from where I come from and work in construction, riding a motorcycle, getting in fights, you know, teaching boxing, stuff like that. I just don't have that.
Sure.
Uh-oh, you know, what could happen? It doesn't mean it won't. It certainly is kind of greased the skids for that behavior. And it won't be in the back of my head when I perform.
Well, I think he does as good a job as anybody in the country in college basketball, Aaron Torres. I met him a few years ago. He came on my set when people were allowed to come on my set pre-COVID. Fox Sports Radio, host of the Aaron Torres podcast. He really knows his stuff. Author of One in Fun, the book about the 2010 Kentucky Wildcats. Listen, this is now a cliche, but it's been a really great tournament. We've had Aaron, like the St. Peter's story is obviously great. Miami shocked me. I don't really get them. I'm 5 minutes from UCLA. I watch them all year long and I'm like, they're just, I don't know what I get. Then I watch them in the tournament. Then the minute I fall in love with them, they get whacked by Carolina. So, I mean, my takeaway is we ended up with a lot of blue bloods. I like that. But it's interesting. I don't feel we have a great team. I think we have four good teams. I think Duke feels like to me the most talented. But you do this. You love this. You watch all of these. You're encyclopedic. Did this tournament have more upsets? Did it feel different? Or is it just the fact that it's been good TV, good announcers, good times mostly, right? In the, you know, outside of a couple late games, it just feels this year has been special.
Well, Colin, I mean, I think the biggest thing with this tournament, we got to remember, this is the first time in 3 years that we've had a normal tournament. And, you know, as the Carolina game goes final, we realize we're getting this Final Four basically of a television, executive's dream, right? As much as there can be. I went back and you think about it, 2020, the NCAA tournament's really the only major sporting event that really ended up being canceled. We figured out a way to play the NBA in a bubble, Major League Baseball in a bubble, the NFL with limited fans. Then last year, the 2021 tournament is planned in the middle of the pandemic. And so it was really the last major sporting event that felt like a COVID sporting event. 2 weeks later, we're starting the NBA playoffs. We have full arenas. I mean, I remember turning in that first Knicks game against the Hawks, Madison Square Garden's rocking. And so I think it's a lot of things. I think that the early rounds were awesome. They were fun. You know, you have the storylines that always carry the tournament. You have the familiar faces in Coach K, Jay Wright, Bill Self later. And I just think fans in the stands, normal time schedule, like you said, if you remember last year, we were playing games on like Monday, yes, Tuesday nights. It's just good to have it feeling a little bit normal again after 3 full years. 2019 was the last time we had one of these normal ones.
And even though we have blue bloods, let's talk about this. So I watch more Duke and Gonzaga than anybody else because I know Mark Few. I went to college up there, so I probably watch a half dozen games a year. I always watch Duke when they're on, and they're on constantly. But let's talk about that. So let's start with Duke. I think they're the most talented team. You know, they got a 5-star point guard who is not as good as everybody thinks. And yet I watch them in the tournament and I'm like, oh, total gamer. It feels like he's busting out and becoming like a star. But when I watch them play, my eyes tell me that, and this is, I think, endemic of college basketball, they're figuring out how to play together finally, but they feel like the most gifted team athletically, are they?
Oh, there's zero doubt. And it's crazy because, I don't really ever remember anything quite like it where they have a couple really nice wins early in the year. You mentioned being a Gonzaga guy and knowing that program well.
Yeah,
they played in Vegas on Black Friday. I was there. Duke won. And you came out of that game saying Duke's the best team in the country because Gonzaga had just destroyed UCLA a few nights before. So that's all the way back in November. Then we have 2.5 months where they basically hit cruise control in the ACC And that was kind of the crazy thing about it to me coming into this tournament was I sat there and said, hey, listen, by the way, I am not the guy that picked Duke, so I'm not trying to take credit and pat myself on the back. But it was also kind of crazy to think about most talented team, legendary coach in a tournament where everybody has stuff to play for. They have the most to play for, you know, sending out Coach K in style.
Yeah.
And so I think not only have they figured it out, Colin, but what I notice is, and I'm sure you've noticed it too, they're figuring it out throughout the tournament, right? Like the Arkansas game felt easier than the Texas Tech game. The Texas Tech game felt easier than the Michigan State game. And so what does that mean for next weekend in New Orleans? I don't know, but they are the most talented team. That's why I thought they would give Arkansas trouble. Arkansas, what they're great at doing is taking away what you do best. When you got five NBA players on the floor, you could do just about anything you want at any given time. And we saw that in the Saturday games. And I think you're spot on. They're by far the most talented team. We'll see if they get these two final wins. But as you said, very much figuring it out here as we go along in this tournament.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know why I instinctively think this. Every time Duke has a great run, I know it must eat away at Calipari. Oh, yeah. Because I think, listen, he took a shot at Duke. In their recruiting, their one and done stuff, saying, you know, they say we'll take care of you for life. And he's like, you know, we don't sell that stuff. And my takeaway is it's recruiting. You do whatever you got to do. You just show the kid more love if that's the way Duke shows the love. But I do think because I think we understand Duke is a, you know, private, small, academically, you know, I understand athletes can take classes, but I think instinctively, I think Kentucky should be better than Duke, right? Like Kentucky should be better than Duke. The revenue, the arena's bigger. You know, they recruit in the South big. They are the name in the South. Or is that unfair? And that Duke, because they're so prestigious, should be the best team in college basketball?
Well, Duke has the 30-year track record of the same guy in that seat. And now, you know, I mean, Coach K, you can say what you want about him, but what, five national championships? The other thing that Coach K did a great job of selling probably about 7-8 years ago, all those Olympic gold medals. Oh, yeah, I coach Kobe. I coach LeBron. I coach KD. There's no high school player that there isn't a comp to in you know, Coach K's Rolodex. So, you know, are they supposed to be better? I don't know. What I would say is definitively, they're not supposed to be losing to St. Peter's. And it's like you said, you know, 7 years. So Final Four 2015, that's 7 years. 1 year, there's a COVID season. There's no tournament played. So really the last six tournaments. What I would say is this. So actually, I think you'll like this, Colin. I don't know if you saw me say this the other day, but right now to me, they are the Dallas Cowboys of college football, college basketball. And it's because they win in the regular season. They win enough where you can't really like just clean house and start over. But they don't win the games that matter. And that's to me where I think Kentucky fans would say, oh, you know, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since blah, blah, blah. But I bring it up because where Kentucky is now is I don't think their fans are national championship or bust. If they got to an Elite Eight and they lost to UCLA or Baylor, or they got to a Final Four and lost to Kansas or North, they'd be frustrated. But you can't lose to St. Peter's. And it's like I said with the Cowboys, you can lose in the playoffs. You can't lose because Dak doesn't know when to spike the ball and when to go, and you're running upfield, and it's, you know, and that to me is where we are with Kentucky. I really don't believe that the fan base is, if we don't win a national title, fire everybody. That's not what it's about. But you can't lose to St. Peter's as a 15 seed. And again, by the way, in a season where Duke is in a Final Four, Kansas is in a Final Four, all the schools yep. that have all the advantages that you do, they're in the Final Four, Elite Eight. You're at home because St. Peter's beat you.
At The Volume Sports, Twitter, Instagram, go to our YouTube page, At The Volume Sports, subscribe. Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show, I brought Draymond Green into the volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.